Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state. Now, let us all join in singing our...
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning to all of you and to those who are watching on television or listening by radio or live streaming. We welcome all of you this morning as we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday, the Sunday after the Lord's resurrection. We recognize and embrace His mercy, which is, as the Holy Father has said for this year, that the name of God is mercy. Let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you bring light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. God of everlasting mercy, who in the very recurrence of the Paschal feast, kindle the faith of the people you have made your own, increase, we pray, the grace you have bestowed, that all may grasp and rightly understand in what font they have been washed, by whose spirit they have been reborn, and by whose blood they have been redeemed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Many signs and wonders were done among the people at the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the others dared to join them, but the people esteemed them. Yet more than ever, believers in the Lord, great numbers of men and women were added to them. Thus, they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and mats so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one or another of them. A large number of people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem also gathered, bringing the sick and those disturbed by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Give thanks for the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The right hand of the Lord has struck with power. Hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be
a reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, your brother, who share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Jesus, found myself on the island called Patmos because I proclaimed God's word and gave testimony to Jesus. I was caught up in spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice as loud as a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and then the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, wearing an ankle-length robe with a gold sash around his chest. When I caught sight of him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. He touched me with his right hand and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and the Neverworld. Write down, therefore, what you have seen and what is happening and what will happen afterwards. The word of the Lord.
Because you have seen me, Thomas, says the Lord. Blessed are those who have not seen me, but still believe. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
I hope that each one of you had a very blessed Easter day and were able to be with family and friends to renew your relationships, of course, with them, but also to renew your love and thanksgiving to the Lord for all he has done for us. What is it like when you're afraid? All of us experience fear. Those of us who try to be tough and brave will say, well, I'm never afraid. Well, you're wrong. Fear is a part of our lives. It's a response. And it operates at different levels. There are certain things that make us afraid for a moment, but there are other things that last a bit longer, which create in us a deeper fear. Last week, I was in New Mexico with the community of the Society of Our Lady, the Most Holy Trinity, for the funeral of Father Flanagan, their founder. And I had to drive back from Taos to Colorado. And as Father Peter left me in Taos and I got in my car, the wind began, the snow started kicking up, the sleet and the ice, and I'm another 2 hours over two mountain passes. A little bit of fear for a South Texan driving in the snow and sleet and rain. That's fear. But there are other fears. The fear when we're put in an unknown situation. Again, to share a moment in my own life, several years ago, I was living in Italy and was asked to be a part of a team to go down to southern Italy where a terrible earthquake had struck, and we as priests were studying spirituality and the love of God and the mercy of God, and we were to go and spend time in parishes during Christmas. And we were dropped off one at a time at different little parishes. And to be with the priest, I didn't know anyone. I had never been in an earthquake. I had never been in an area where 900 people had died, in a cemetery, with the mourning and the crying, the needs. And it creates a fear in you. But what is important, I think, sisters and brothers, in our own experience, and we all have experiences of fear, is the way we react. The natural reaction so often is to protect ourselves, to, in a certain sense, close the doors of our hearts and protect me. And that's certainly what I did in those days in southern Italy. Until you come to the point to say, I want to get out of here. I don't want to be here. I volunteered for the mission, and I have something I want to give, which is God's love in the midst of this destruction. But I'm too afraid. And I identify very well with the apostles because of that experience. But I had no car. I had no phone. I didn't know who to call to come get me. I was there. And so in a certain sense, you look for a higher power. You turn to the Lord. You turn to God. And what helped me most was to realize that Mary herself was in that situation at the foot of the cross, when all seemed to be lost, when the situation seemed to be desperate. And yet, she was ready to forget herself and focus on her son. And that's what I tried to do spiritually. And at that moment, the doors unlocked, and I began to see people's needs and began to respond to them, especially the pastor whom I was serving there. These things happen to us. The dynamic of fear and the instinctive response of closing the door for protection. Closing our doors. And this is what the apostles, the disciples, had done. They probably felt threatened by the angry crowds. If it happened to Jesus, it could certainly happen to us. It was not just a spiritual fear, but it was a physical fear, I'm sure, on their part as well. Even though they had lived through the days of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, nonetheless, there was this instinctive fear. But the other part of this, of their life, was that they were committed. They were committed to Jesus. And he had, over the time of his ministry, given them a mission formalized today, but especially at the Last Supper. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you must wash others' feet as well. And this would be their mission. This was their commissioning. Fear, closing in, and yet being called to a mission. How do you put all of that together? How does one deal with the fear? How does one deal with the closeness of life when we are afraid? And yet knowing there's something bigger out there than my own fear, that I am being called as a Christian today, as a Catholic, on a mission. Something, someone in their experience was missing. Even though they had experienced the resurrection of Jesus, had seen him in their excitement, but now they were in this situation, and where is Jesus now? And that is a question for each of us in our own fears. Where is Jesus now? At that point, Jesus comes through the locked door. The locked door of their hearts and the physical door of the room. And what did he say to them? The first word is peace. Peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Isn't that the sign that we give to each other in a few moments before Holy Communion? It's not a, hey, how are you doing? Peace be with you kind of thing. It's a peace that eliminates the fear. It's a peace that says, be calm in your situation. And many times we don't know each other's situations when we're offering peace, but it doesn't matter. When I say, peace be with you, in the name of Jesus, I'm wanting for you that calmness of life, that security of life that only Jesus can give us. And so it's not a fellowship signal that we give to each other, but a true desire and wish that Jesus live in you. And so the first greeting of Jesus is peace. Peace be with you. Do you have that peace today? Do you experience that peace in your life right now? Or is there something that is unsettling? And as he gave them his peace, he also said to them, as the Father sent me, and he had just accomplished the mission, so I send you. If you're going to wear my name, Christian, Christ, follower of Christ, if you're going to wear the badge, you're going to have to share the mission as well. And so he sends them on a mission to bring his life, his love to others. How would they be equipped? I give you the Holy Spirit. This is the dynamic of the Christian life. This is the dynamic of Catholic existence. We have the peace of Christ in us, the mission to be accomplished, whether it's a day mission, a lifelong mission. And the Holy Spirit, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are a part of that mission. And I would point out two of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that is courage and wisdom. Courage and wisdom among the seven. We need courage today to rely on the presence of Christ in our life. I am with you always until the end of time, and to be focused on what is my mission. Is it to spread a doctrinal teaching, or is it to encounter Christ every day in my sisters and brothers? The Holy Father has given us this year of mercy to examine ourselves. Are we people of fear, or are we people of mission? Are we people who rely on our own powers, or the power of the Holy Spirit? Do we live our Christian life locked behind closed doors because we're afraid? Well, you know, if I get too involved in all these things, people call me holy, and I don't want to be a holy Joe or a holy Mary. And so we lock ourselves, we defend ourselves from these kinds of things. Are we fearful to express our faith in word and in deed, in the works of mercy? So oftentimes, and I think this is true in our country among Catholics, we are afraid. We're afraid of the change of culture, the change of morality that is happening so dramatically in our country. And so we succumb to a political answer. We get behind the toughest response there is because we think that's going to change things. Or on the other hand, we think that a certain political platform that is actually against the teaching of the body of Christ. And all of that, I would say, and if you would think about it this week, those are fearful responses. When we look for other solutions beyond Jesus Christ as his disciples, we're afraid. If we, and this is our mission, come together more and more in the spirit of the gospel, and this is what our Holy Father is trying to do with us, for us, leading us, not with just doctrinal answers, but with a life lived, especially in the works of mercy, to open the doors of our fear and begin to operate, to live the Christian life. In his own homily today on this feast of Divine Mercy, the Holy Father calls the works of mercy the hallmarks of the Christian life. The hallmark of the Christian life. And so we may be good just for a moment to review those hallmarks. And are they alive in our own life? Some of them, perhaps for whatever reason, we're not able to do. But do we feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, bury the dead? Do we counsel those in doubt, do we instruct the ignorant, admonish sinners, comfort the afflicted, forgive offenses, bear wrongs patiently. Maybe we ought to review that one. Do we bear wrongs patiently or seek revenge? And do we pray for the living and the dead? This is what makes us different. This is what we should be focused on. And when we do these things, when we go beyond our fears, our locked doors, we discover a life that's out there waiting for us that we never knew before. I can tell you from my own experience, going beyond my own fears that day in Italy opened to me a new life. I met people I would have never met behind my locked door. I had experiences of faith that I never knew before. I had a joy and a peace inside that I would never give up. Unlock the doors of our fear. Let the mercy of God come to us in our own act of forgiveness and allowing ourselves to be forgiven by God's mercy. And then let us put that into practice in our daily life. And we will find the attractiveness of that we're no longer fearful people, but people of action in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now together let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God's mercy endures forever, and so we bring to our merciful God the prayers and the needs of our world.
For Pope Francis and all leaders throughout the Church, as they bear witness to the great mercy of God through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the peace of our risen Lord throughout all the world, especially in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran, let us pray to the Lord. That our nation may experience a conversion of heart and a return in penance and sorrow to our covenant with God, let us pray to the Lord. For all newly initiated Christians, especially those among us who were baptized last week at the Easter Vigil, as the new life of their faith inspires and strengthens the faith of all of us, let us pray to the Lord. For those cathedral parishioners who have gone to be with their Savior, especially Mel Lemos and Charles Anthony Segura, let us pray to the Lord. For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, Let us pray to the Lord. And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Joseph H. Mueller, Frank Garza Jr., Maria Martinez, and for the intentions of Margarita Garcia, let us pray to the Lord. And for all the prayers we hold in the silence of our hearts. For all our intentions, spoken and unspoken, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord God, you make us a part of the faith community to help us to grow. Hear these prayers for our community and the world, and grant them through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Accept, O Lord, we pray, the oblation of your people and those you have brought to new birth, that renewed by confession of your name and by baptism, they may attain unending happiness through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts.
And with the heart of the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but on this day above all to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. For he is the true Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. By dying he destroyed our death, and by rising he restored our life. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become for us the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help.
May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother Bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you, at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.